Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Jody Peterman. We know that no one understands what you need better than you do. We take care to guide you through the legal process, ensuring that you're able to make the decisions that are best for you. If you have a personal injury, criminal, or family law issue, please take a look at our website to learn more about our practice. We offer a free initial consultation for personal injury cases. Give us a call at 229-375-5680. We have a reputation for being accessible and treating our clients well. We look forward to hearing from you.
Hello, I'm Guy Terry of Terry and Peterman. At Terry and Peterman, we're committed to representing the hardworking residents of South Georgia in personal injury, criminal, and family law matters. For years, we have worked with college students in this area to ensure legal issues do not disrupt their academic careers. We also represent military families struggling with divorce and family law issues. We rely upon over 30 years of combined experience to provide aggressive representation for our clients.
Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now, a production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network, where we bring you the latest news and information on the local wrestling scene in and around Georgia, as well as interviews with newsmakers. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Georgia Wrestling Now.
Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now. This is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com with Johnny Danger and Joshua Von Wheeler, as he prefers to be called now. And
yes.
We've got an exciting show tonight. Nikita Koloff will be calling in about 15 minutes. But, of course, we have to talk about WrestleMania, I guess. I'm assuming both of you guys watched it or you know what happened.
Yes, I actually watched it on the network, and it was awesome. It came in very well on the network. It was a very well spent $10, and out of the entire show, top to bottom, was one of the best WrestleMania cards in a very, very long time from my perspective.
Yeah, I watched it on WWE Network as well, but I had lots of issues, so I don't know. I haven't really heard the consensus if it came off okay for most people or what. But I did see it. You've been posting a lot about the Undertaker streak ending, Josh, and more importantly, the reactions.
The crowd reactions were just so hilarious. I had to post them.
Yeah. It was.
But I also posted them like, and Johnny, you're in the business, so you can attest to this. You have to feel that, like, being involved in wrestling and seeing the crowd react that way to something in wrestling lets you realize that pro wrestling isn't dead per se, and that kayfabe is still alive and well because they still believe the biggest pile of wrestle crap in the history of gimmickry in The Undertaker. The guy was resurrected twice. He used to throw fireballs. I mean, come on. How has that guy ever been believable? But yet here's an entire 75,000-plus people, plus all the internet kids, absolutely in tears because The Undertaker lost a match at WrestleMania at 50 years old, I might add.
Yeah, this is actually something I was talking about with Jeff G. Bailey last week, and of all people, you know, a lot of people, they complain about the, you know, the marks, the overly passionate fans, but at the same time, you know, these are the people you want in the crowd. They're the people that pay your salaries. You know, I wish there were a million of them.
There are a million of them. They were all watching WrestleMania last night.
Yeah, they're not coming to see me wrestle.
No, but that's my thing is, like, now I think from a smaller level, and I got to give kudos to Jeff Jarrett for announcing that his project is going to happen, Global Wrestling Force. Horrible name, but at least it's something. You have to say, can someone tap in? And I'm not saying you need the entire 100% market, but can someone tap in and take 25 or 30% of that market and say, look, here's another form of wrestling. Watch us, too. Because no, everyone's going to watch WWE. There's no getting around that at this point. You are never, no one will ever beat Vince McMahon. But can someone get that 25 or 30% part of the value of the marketplace and say, hey, we're wrestling too, and we're enjoyable? I mean, that's what the NWA was for, you know, at least the first 15 years of my life, and WCW later on. They didn't have 50% of the market. They had about 25% of the market. but it was still important enough that we watched it, and we loved Clash of Champions, we loved Starrcade, and we loved Great American Bash, and so forth and so on.
Hey, now's the time to try something, because I heard a lot of people are never going to watch WWE again.
Oh, dear Jesus. Right, and then exactly. And those same people are tuning in tonight in about an hour, and if Sting just happens to be there, all will be forgotten.
Right.
You know, not only that, it's like Jake the Snake Roberts
said.
It's like Jake the Snake said during his Hall of Fame induction. It's all about manipulating people's emotions. You bring them up, you bring them down. In my opinion, yes, Undertaker losing, it was a big down, but everyone got what they wanted for months and months and months. Daniel Bryan got his moment. Who the fuck didn't love that?
Speaking of Jake the Snake's Hall of Fame induction speech, we haven't really talked about it much, but this was possibly the most Georgia-centric Hall of Fame induction class ever, I would say.
Except the one in Atlanta.
Yeah, but, I mean, even that, some of those, like Abdul the Butcher lives here, but he's not from here.
Well, the Armstrongs are pretty much from Georgia, and then the Road Warriors pretty much start in Georgia. So they're not from Georgia, but they start in Georgia. So.
Yeah,
do you think T's mama stopped through Georgia at any point? Good grief.
Oh, goodness. I'm glad someone had that joke. Hey, I wonder if Mr. T's mama and Shelton Benjamin's mama are, like, friends or anything.
I'm sad the cat didn't come back for one night and try to call his mama.
Oh, that would be great. I would have been marked out for that. I'm not going to lie.
Speaking of the cat, I've heard rumors that he's been running a promotion somewhere in Georgia, but I haven't heard much about
really?
It. I think they may have done one show so far, but I don't know how much he's involved with it exactly, so I will find out more about it. But so what else? I think Antonio Cesaro winning the Battle Royal, not only winning it, but picking up Big Show with ease and throwing him out of the ring was one of the more impressive moments.
Yeah, is he going to be the next star or what? I mean, first, he obviously, the split with Swagger, they set him up to be the next guy, in my opinion. We'll see.
Yeah, I think he really turned heads with his match with Sami Zayn, and I think they realized that, you know, this guy can be a star, especially an international star, and they are really very heavy on the European market. But at the same time, I mean, anyone that knows, I mean, I had the privilege of using him when he was Claudio Castagnoli, when he was pretty much first really in America and getting noticed. And even then, like, you know, he was an impressive guy with some of the stuff he was doing back in 2006. And I'm so happy that he got to, you know, show on the bigger scale. But I think the match of the night to me, I mean, I love seeing it in Bray Wyatt. I thought it was a phenomenal story. But I still think Daniel Bryan and Triple H had such an amazing opening match.
Yes.
And kudos to Triple H for doing good business, but at the same time, like, showing out. I mean, he showed out. He showed you why and I've never been a big Triple H guy, and I've always said he's always been one of those guys that's, like, on the cusp of being a great guy, like, in my top 15. He definitely is in my top 15 now. Like, that match was phenomenal, and he really, really showed that he is the consummate professional.
Yeah, you know, Undertaker, he gets a pass for being a part-timer. Everybody likes to rag on the part-timers. You know, I hate to say it, I'm a huge Taker mark, but Triple H was the best part-timer last night.
Yes. Well, and it's not even being a part-timer, because if you think about it, and again, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the WWE schedule, but 300 matches a year is kind of ridiculous if you really think about it from your body standpoint. No other sport does that to their athletes. None of them. So to call someone a part-timer, no, they're not a part-timer. They're main eventers. When you can only work 6 to 8 shows a year and still draw, you're a main eventer. Floyd Mayweather boxes 2 times a year. Manny Pacquiao boxes 2 times a year. Who's the UFC guy that everyone loves? John Jones. He only fights 2-3 times a year. Ronda Rousey only fights 2 or 3 times a year. That's what you want. You want guys that can make money without having to be oversaturated on TV every week. And the idea, you know what? the fans are what they are, but they're starting to show that as smart as they think they are, because they read the dirt sheets or they're on PW Torch and PW Insider and they have their podcast, they're showing their ass at just how stupid they really are when it comes to the business of professional wrestling. And I think this WrestleMania really showed them that you're not on the same level as these guys that are creating the product.
So you're saying that Brock Lesnar did not shoot on The Undertaker and change the script last night?
If he did, then the referee had to go along with it, and I don't see that happening. Come on. That story right there was the worst story I've seen all weekend. Like, the guy lost. He did what was best for business at that time, and trust me, that man knows more about the wrestling psychology of the human emotion than any of us do, and probably most of the people we know do, except for very, very few other guys. I mean, the guy's a 30-plus year legend who's rode the roads with some of the best minds in the industry's history. I have no doubt that The Undertaker knows what he was doing from a wrestling standpoint.
Yeah, I don't think anybody would question that at all. We've got a caller. He maybe wants to respond to some of what we've been talking about. I'm going to bring him on the line. I'm having some technical difficulties, so it may take a second. You're on Georgia Wrestling Now. Who is this? Hello.
Welcome to Nashville, Tennessee. Stay around
right.
Long enough and you'll stay. The world is...
Okay, that was interesting.
Never mind. All right. Well, have either of you guys ever watched Preacher's Daughters, the Lifetime show that Nikita Koloff is on?
I have not seen it. And as a matter of fact, I didn't know anything about it until yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah. I haven't seen either, but I'm sure he will fill us in on what it's about. Well, I think the name kind of says it all. It's looks like it follows a few families whose the father is a preacher and they have daughters, and I don't know any more about it other than that though. But he's going to be not wrestling, but doing some sort of seminar or something called Body Revolution next Sunday at a church in Griffin, Georgia. So we'll talk about that. But, a couple weeks ago, Josh, you and I were talking about asking him about WrestleMania, even though Nikita Koloff never was part of a WrestleMania. He was wrestling when WrestleMania started, and
right.
I'm sure he felt the impact, the whole industry felt the impact of WrestleMania and how it's changed everything. Be interesting to hear his perspective. I wonder if he was in New Orleans, or maybe he still is. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't see him advertise for any WrestleCon type things or anything like that. He doesn't do a lot of wrestling stuff at all anymore, does he?
No,
particularly. I did see a couple years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, actually, at Phillips Arena. He got inducted into the NWA Hall of Fame. That was kind of cool.
Oh, yeah, I was there for that, too. He does have his own website, you'll be happy to know, Josh. But it looks like his focus is faith-based stuff these days.
Gotcha.
And he and Lex Luger, I think they work on things often.
I would like to ask one favor, and that's of you, Joshua Von Wheeler. This week, do not pick a fight on my behalf with the guest, because I know what the Russian sickle can do.
Oh, no. I'm not picking any fights with Nikita Koloff. I didn't realize that the blacklist was gonna do that. The usual suspects, especially AJ, gets kind of angry at little things, and they were very, very angry about the entire Pandora situation, so...
Let me tell you, I've been looking over my shoulder for the past week. I actually had one of the Washington Bullets ask me if I was okay. I mean, it's a scary situation, man.
All right.
Oh.
Well, it looks like we've got the Russian Nightmare Nikita Koloff joining us now. How are you tonight, sir? Nikita Koloff, is that you?
The one and only. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
I'm out in the boondocks, so hopefully I'll hold the signal long enough they can fly man to the moon, but they can't figure out how we can talk without dropping a phone call.
Are you in Louisiana? Were you there for WrestleMania, or are you in Georgia?
Neither. I'm in South Carolina this evening.
Oh, okay. Cool. Well, we were just discussing various things that I'm sure you'll want to talk about. But first of all, you were never involved with a WrestleMania, but you were actively wrestling when WrestleMania debuted. So just curious, what kind of impact did you feel, you know, in the industry in general as an active wrestler at the time when that happened?
Well, I don't think in the moment of it happening, you know, you're working for competing organizations and you're not really thinking, you're focusing on what you're doing on your end. And I don't know if anyone knew that 30 years ago that it would evolve into what it is today. You know, we had Starcade, they had WrestleMania, we had War Games, they had, you know, so it just evolved, you know, as a healthy competition for between one company and the other. And certainly, you know, it has stood the test of time, and now we can look back and see where, you know, was Paramount and what they did years ago.
Now, you were a part of probably one of my favorite personal feuds that I ever watched when I was growing up between you and Madam T.A. How important was that feud to your career? And then also, how important was it, I mean, and kind of take us to that whole level of, like, when Magnum got hurt and they, you know, decided to you know, put you with Dusty, like, how much, like, kind of just fill us in on those two things if you can.
Well, I think certainly Magnum and I had some of the best chemistry that two guys could have in the ring. And if I hear from the old school fans, or really from fans in general, if it's one thing more than any other, it's the best of seven series with Magnum TA. I hear that over and over and over and over again, and just what an impact that had, never before having been done. And I'm not even sure, you guys could probably tell me, I don't know if they've ever done anything since then like that ever again. And created quite a storyline and quite a drawing and fanfare and interest. And then moving forward to the Switch, once again, nothing that will ever, I believe, be repeated, because in those days, long before the internet, one of the best kept secrets in professional wrestling, from what I'm told, coming to the night of the actual Switch itself, and just taking the wrestling world by surprise, never having been a Russian babyface or a Russian good guy ever before. So certainly took the wrestling world by surprise, and as the old cliche goes, the rest was history.
Now, you speaking of taking wrestling by surprise, and I don't know if you watched WrestleMania last night, but there was a very surprising moment. How does it feel to be in the ring when the crowd is definitely behind you or against you and they're silent? Like what is that feeling like when you know you've got them so well that they're just stuck in, like, wow mode?
It's, I mean, I'd be lying if I didn't say it was exhilarating. It absolutely is. I mean, I remember the night that of the Switch when I became rescue, and for 15 minutes, literally for 15 minutes, the same people who only days and weeks or even months earlier, I was the most hated guy in wrestling for a while there by fan poll, and to have those same people for 15 minutes cheering and chanting your name, and guys taking their shirts off and doing that most muscular pose that I used to do at the conclusion of many matches or interviews, was certainly exhilarating, to say the least, and definitely something that you, I can look back on and just be in awe of, to know that you have that kind of an impact on the wrestling fan. It's quite humbling, actually.
Now, you've always been known as one of the guys who pretty much stayed in character all the time. How hard was that, and why do you feel like guys today can't even stay in characters when their match is. Like what is broken down with the business from when you were doing it and staying in character 24/7 to guys now who break character like the minute a match is over?
It was a different era. When I broke in, it was still old school. It wasn't exposed, you might say, to be, quote, sports entertainment. And so I was raised up by Ivan and Dusty and Flair, a guy old school mentality where you protected the business at all costs, even up to the point of slapping a news reporter, you know, on the side of the face and, you know, busting his eardrum. You know? And so,
right.
So I just determined for myself that, you know, I would legally change my name. I would learn a few Russian phrases. I would speak with the accent 24/7 for 12 years. If I was anywhere outside the confines of my home, a dressing room or a car, one of the guys I was traveling with. And so it was just a different era. And then once it became exposed as sports entertainment, the mysteriousness of the business was then gone, and that shifted it into a whole different persona.
Do you think if people went back maybe gradually to, you know, staying in character and protecting it the way you did, do you think it could ever get back to that point, or has it been too exposed at this point?
I believe it's too exposed. I have too many fans, too numerous of fans who would love for it to be to that era, but I think it was the nostalgic era of its time, never to be repeated again.
And going back to that era, Nikita, you're one of the big name guys, one of the few name guys that did not work for Vince McMahon. I've always heard rumors there were talks about bringing you in to possibly face Hulk Hogan back in the day. Was there any truth to that? What was the reason behind that not happening? Just anything you care to share about that?
Well, of course, the magazines, you know, touted that month after month after month, and it would have made certainly a great storyline. It would have made some headlines and probably some record attendance for its time, most likely. Two main reasons why that didn't happen. One, I was very loyal to Jim Crockett and the NWA for giving me my break the way it happened, and don't have the time tonight to go into that. Somebody can go on NikitaKoloff.com and read more about that, or pick up one of my books and read more about that whole story. So that was the biggest and probably the main reason, was my loyalty to Jim Crockett Promotions, knowing I certainly probably could have went there and made more money, but I wasn't motivated by money. I was more committed to being a person of loyalty than anything. Secondly, and perhaps as important, was I had developed and worked that character for so long, and watching what they were doing and just really kind of feeding guys into Hogan. Most likely, had I done that, it would have been a much more short-lived career in terms of main event wrestling. Because once I would have had that run with him, I'm guessing, like many of the other guys, I never would have had that elite status ever again.
So looking back, you would have made the same choice?
Life's too short to live with regrets. I have none.
Excellent.
Now, when you first broke in, you broke in with the Legion of Doom, and you broke in with Rick Rude and Kurt Hanger. You went to the same school as them up in Robbinsdale, Minnesota area. Eddie Sharkey, what was it like training with a guy like Eddie Sharkey, and how impressive was it that you broke in with all those guys, and then, you know, 4 or 5 years later, you guys are all like top guys in the NWA and around the various other territories.
Well, I find it very interesting that people just assume that I went through Eddie Sharkey's training school. And that was what I was saying earlier, that there's not enough time to tell my whole story. I never went through a training camp, period. That was the Road Warriors,
oh, wow.
Barry Darso, and the other guys. The uniqueness to my story is the day I called Jim Crockett, I had a 5-minute conversation, sight unseen, having never had any professional background training or schooling, nor amateur background, just a five-minute conversation with a date I was given to be in his office. And so the day I walked in his office, I walked in brand new, as green as could be, with no experience, zero. And the next night was in Raleigh, North Carolina, wrestling on television, having never even hit a ring rope prior to that, which is the very unique part of the story. I get the impression, as Eddie Sharkey's name is thrown around, just because of my association with those guys, many people assume I went through that camp when indeed I never did.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I've always heard the story that you went through their camp, so I apologize for being incorrect on that.
Oh, it's okay. You're not the first with that misinformation, but I'm glad you brought it up so I could clear the air on that.
Well, it sounds like your introduction was very similar to people like Lex Luger and, other people that had no wrestling background. Did you have any kind of athletic background?
I did. My love and passion was for football. As a child, my sights were set on the NFL. I embraced weightlifting at the age of 12, and 42 years later, I continue to lift weights and work out. High school, college, scouted by the NFL, two fractures, one my freshman year, rehabilitated. If people are familiar with the Joe Theismann fracture or the way the young man in the NCAA tournament last year fractured his leg, I did that in a game my freshman year in college and then repeated it with my other leg my senior year in college, of all things. Came back from both and rehabilitated and was in the process of going for a pro football tryout when I got the phone call to give pro wrestling a shot. And, of course, I never looked back.
Well, these days you're obviously on a much different path. Tell us a little bit about your Lifetime show, Preacher's Daughters, and how you got involved with that.
What a crazy story, man. Obviously, two opposing, polarized ends of the world. You know, professional wrestler to evangelist. But you know, little what I've ever known or what I've ever conceived, the idea of traveling the world and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. But a little less than a year after I left wrestling by my choice, chose to walk away at the age of 34, found myself at an altar, surrendering my life to the Lord, and then doors began to open for me to travel and share my testimony and my story. And now here I am 20 years later, having been removed from television, from wrestling, and it has come full circle. And on Lifetime Television, in fact, it's in second season right now, Preacher's Daughters. Really just a reality show about my youngest daughter, Colby. Really the whole family's on it, but it centers around her life as a teenager and just the pressures of being the daughter of a preacher, an evangelist, and what life is like for her. And season one was very successful. They did a season two. We're in midstream. It's on Wednesday nights on Lifetime at the 9 Eastern. And it's been a great experience for the family and certainly created a lot of conversation, to say the least.
Did they come to you to be on that, or was it something you kind of auditioned for, or how did it come about?
Well, the short story is their mother saw an opportunity there was actually a post on like Craigslist that wanting to talk to Preacher's Daughters, not realizing it had anything to do with the reality TV show, submitted Colby's information, other interviews, and from the interviews it led to Skype calls, and then came to find out that it was indeed a reality show. And out of my understanding, out of 1,200 families last year, we were one of three that were selected. And the irony to all of that, guys, is I met the guy who actually came up with the concept or the idea of Preacher's Daughters, and it turns out he was a Nikita Koloff fan growing up, had the poster, the T-shirt, the whole deal, and never knowing I would actually be a part of that show or that he would ever meet me. So that was the irony of all of it.
And then you're going to be at Lasting Impact Church, I believe it's called, in Griffin this Sunday. What is the body revolution thing that you're doing there?
The well, one of the things Lex Luger and I are very passionate about is health and wellness. And so I'll be speaking that morning, of course, delivering a message that morning, a sermon that morning, that we'll come back in the afternoon with a just a free seminar for men, women, families on how to be, get, or stay healthy. And so to be I call it the one-hour power hour, and we'll talk about eating and exercise and nutrition, and anyone who's interested in just being more fit or just wanting a little more information or education on what it means to be healthy and or stay healthy. And so that's what I'll be doing in Griffin Sunday morning at 11 and then Sunday afternoon at 4 p.m.
You mentioned...
Sorry, Jonathan. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, going back to wrestling a little bit, who are some of your favorite opponents to kind of work with?
Well, I mean, you know what? I had some pretty decent matches with the majority of the guys I stepped in the ring with. But certainly Flair and the Road Warriors, Sting, Lex Luger, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, Steve Austin. I mean, the list, you know, goes on. Cactus Jack. I mean, I run through a, you know, laundry list of names. Rick Rude, Ravishing Rick Rude. I mean, on and on it goes, but it's been great. I look back with fond memories and very, very thankful and very grateful to the career.
You mentioned Sting. You know, there's a lot of speculation that he might show up on Raw tonight, or he's going to be in WWE finally for the first time ever sometime soon. You mentioned walking away from wrestling. Do you think you're done completely? Do you think you ever will return to the ring for any is there anything that might get you back in the ring?
Yeah, just the applause and the demand of the people, just wanting to see me acknowledge and my heart and gratitude for all their loyal support over the years. I tell people if they want to see me in wrestling tights, they'll have to YouTube me because the boots were bronzed and, you know, short of maybe a special referee appearance historical sickle, I won't be in tights again, so...
Now, in the you know, there's been a few wrestling wrestlers turned ministers. Tully Blanchard did it a few years ago. Teddy Biasi, Shawn Michaels has become very active in his church. Why do you feel that wrestlers are gravitating towards religion later on in life? And kind of explain that and kind of expand upon your thoughts and without giving too much away from what's in your book and everything.
Sure, I'd be glad to, and then I have to apologize up front. I'm going to have this probably about one of the last questions I'm going to be able to answer, and then I've got to actually. That's a great question. And how I would answer that is what they've realized, and I know from Sting's own testimony and from my own personal experience, Lex becoming like not only a best friend, but the privilege of discipling, mentoring him in his journey since April 23, 2006, is that the guys kind of realize that all the bling in the world, all the baubles and the trinkets and the things we grasp for, the things that once they've achieved them, they realize their life is still empty. It's an empty chase. Not religion, but a relationship. And upon this experience, relationship. And set them on a different path. And that's a lot of people. I mean, I think back to my life prior to trying to achieve and thought the championship belts and the roar of the crowd and all of that would satisfy the wrestling memorabilia and the dolls and the signed And it does for a moment, but at the end of the night, the roar stops, and you got to look for the next thrill next day, and it's an ongoing chase. And so I think many, well, not many of them, but the ones you named, came to that realization that that they were still missing something, and that there was still an emptiness inside, and what filled that emptiness was that surrendering their heart, surrendering their life to Jesus Christ, and their testimony then speaks for itself. It doesn't make any of us, you know, infallible or perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but it does set us on a different path and give us a much greater future to look forward to.
All right. Well, you mentioned that you have to that you've got to go soon. I was curious. You know, we were talking before you came on. You were inducted into the NWA Hall of Fame in 2008. Have you ever been contacted or heard anything about possibly being inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame?
Only by fans. Hey, it's not fair. You need to be in there. You know, if it happens, you know, that just be another humbling experience. You know, probably the one very memorable to me right now is the one up in Waterloo, Iowa, the name's slipping my mind right now, the Olympic wrestler, Dan Gable. Dan Gable's Hall of Fame up there, the Amateur Professional Hall of Fame, and that's probably the most humbling to date to be a part of, you know, with the acknowledged with Lou Fez and just some of the incredibly legendary wrestlers who both amateur and professional, and so if, you know, if it happens with WWE, that'll just be another feather in the cap, and certainly will be humbled by it, but you know, not holding my breath if it doesn't happen. So
and speaking about the WWE and today's wrestling, if there was anybody in the current generation that you could get in the ring with and drop with the old Russian sickle, who would it be?
Few of them. John Cena would be one. Triple H would be another. Shawn Michaels. Those three immediately come to mind. And then, who knows, maybe one day Hogan looks in pretty good shape. Maybe him and I could have a Legends match on a WrestleMania one day, and maybe that's what it would take to get the tights back on me. Somebody said it would draw some tremendous ratings, so I don't know. Time will tell. We'll see. But, guys, I got a roll, and I do apologize again to all the fans out there. I'm looking forward to being in Griffin and really thankful for the opportunity you guys have given me to speak to you tonight. And boy, let's do it again sometime when I have more time.
All right. Sounds good to me.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Well, bless you guys, and to all the wrestling fans out there, I love you guys, and thank you for all your support.
All right. Thanks a lot. All right. Well, that was a fun talk.
What was my phone cutting it out, or was it his?
I think it was his.
Okay, because I couldn't tell if it was me cutting it out, so I didn't say a lot of stuff, or if it was his. So I did.
That's why I was
kind of silent there for a little bit. So
yeah, I don't know if it was his phone or Blog Talk Radio has been kind of weird tonight, and every once in a while it does that. Like if I hit mute,
thanks Blog Talk.
It'll take 5 seconds for it to actually mute or whatever, and it's been doing that kind of stuff. So I don't, between him being in the middle of nowhere and the technical difficulties we've already been dealing with, I don't know what it was. But I think we got the gist of what he was saying.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was a good interview. I had a few more questions, but like I said, I couldn't tell if it was my phone or his, so I didn't know if I was even on air there for a little bit. So
yeah. Well, he said he'll call in again, so just save those questions for next time.
I think I will.
All right. Well, what else do we have to talk about tonight?
Well, I have just received word on PWInsider.com, and this will create a little bit of controversy. Christy Hemme has been named to the creative team.
I saw that on Twitter just before we went on the air.
Johnny Danger, you're laughing in the background.
Oh, was I? I didn't know.
Is that not, like, just completely, like, that right there explains TNA's problems right there?
You know, let's give her the benefit of the doubt. Who knows? She may have... No, I can't do it.
All I got to say is I can think of about 20 guys right now that are... No, she's not. Come on. If you have a chance to hire Kevin Sullivan, Kevin Nash, Jim Cornette, Jake the Snake Roberts, Steve Austin, Mick Foley, I mean, there's so many guys. And Tommy Dreamer. Tommy Dreamer's working for the company, doing talent stuff. Why in the world would you give the book or part of the book or a piece of the book or any type of production to Chrissy Hemme, of all people?
I don't know.
Why does TNA do anything that they do?
That one just bothered me. That right there might be the death knell for that company to me.
Well, I guess that kind of there were rumors that Samuel Shaw thing was gonna end with, you know, tragically for her, coincidentally as her contract was coming up. So I'm guessing that that's not gonna happen now.
Jesus Christ! Unbelievable.
By the way, I didn't go to any of the TNA shows that were in Georgia over the weekend, but
I don't think anybody else did either. I've seen no reports. I mean, I don't mean that in a joking way. I've seen no reports. So
I did see. I believe it was on Georgia Wrestling History, which, by the way, they've got a new Facebook page that you can like. I think it used to just be a group that you could join, but now there's a GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com Facebook page. So find that and like it.
Nice.
I'm looking on there now. I thought I saw that, yeah, there is a report from Brian Slack on Georgia or GWH News and Notes.blogspot.com from Sunday, review of the Macon show on the 4th. I don't see any reviews of the other ones. Oh, yeah. Yeah, anyway, it's on there. So if you're curious, go look it up. I haven't even watched Impact on TV in the last couple weeks. It seemed like the only thing that was enjoyable on there has been Gunner and James Storm, which just isn't enough to hold to carry a two-hour show.
Yeah, I honestly had it on in the background Thursday night, and when I saw that they brought the Beautiful People back together, and I turned it off. I was like, okay, this is ridiculous. I'm done. Because just 2-3 weeks earlier, Velvet Sky's like the biggest babyface diva in the company, and then all of a sudden, it doesn't make any sense. Like, nothing they do makes any sense. There's no character building. There's absolutely no long-term planning. It's rushed television, and it's not good. It's just not a good product anymore. Like, I used to give it a pass, but it's got to the point where it's just not good anymore. But speaking of good, I would like to hear if anyone went to the Peach State show. Peach State and UIW had a group show this past weekend. I heard it drew very well, but I've heard no reports. I heard, you know, some of the things from, like, inside people what happened, but I haven't heard any, like, fan reports. So has anyone else heard anything about that show?
I
have not, no, and I don't see a report on GWH either.
And I saw two awesome YouTube videos today. I saw the Platinum Crusader. Johnny, I guess you posted this on your Facebook page a few days ago, and I just watched it today, but that was the funniest vignette I've seen for professional wrestling in quite some time.
I will pass that compliment on to the Platinum Crusader. I believe I have his email address.
So now my question is not who is the Platinum Crusader, but who did the video?
I can't say. The video was messaged to me on Facebook early yesterday morning, and it just said, share this with the world. So that's what I did. You know, the guy looks like somebody I should listen to.
I really enjoyed that video. And then posted earlier today, as bad as I hate them, they still do some really cool moves, and we know I love cool moves. Pro Wrestling Guerrilla has posted their new hype video, and... Johnny, you're a wrestler in this industry, and you know a lot of the guys that watch that crap. So I'm going to pose this question to you. If guys are watching Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, why are they not incorporating some of those moves and some of those things into their matches?
Speaking personally, maybe they can't.
Then why watch it?
I mean, why do you watch superhero movies? You can't fly around, but it entertains
well,
you, right?
Well, I don't watch superhero movies. That's a bad example.
God damn it. I mean, it's escapism. I look at wrestling like that as just, it's a video game. It's something cool to look at. Is
right.
it the most realistic thing? No. It's kind of a conversation I was having the other day. You can do 97 cool moves, but number one, why does it take 97 moves to beat somebody? And, you know, what move matters? You know, I subscribe to the Jake Roberts theory that less is more, no wasted motion. Everything I
yep.
do means something. Now, that's not to knock on anybody or their style. That's just my preference.
No, and I completely agree with you, and that's I'm glad you bring this up because that's exactly like that's kind of like how like you know I've always thought about it, and you know you Jake the Snake's a perfect example. You go back to Jake the Snake Roberts, and he did he had five moves, maybe six, but he would go for the DDT early on in the match. He told that story like, if I get it on you, you're done, and it was your job to not let him get it on you. Like that was the whole point. But now, like, you know, and I've used the Young Bucks as an example on a previous podcast, they do eight super kicks into one guy. They just super kick, super kick, super kick. And they think it's cool, and all the crowd, you know, they pop for it. But my question is this. Either you're telling me your super kick is weaker than Shawn Michaels, or you're telling me that your opponent is tougher than The Undertaker.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's what it boils down to, yeah. That was actually my biggest complaint about last night's WrestleMania was they absolutely devalued almost every finisher. Not that I like finishers anyway, but it's just like everybody, you know, everybody's got their signature move, and everyone's signature move got kicked out of last night.
Yeah.
That's actually one of the two things I noticed, that just about every match somebody kicked out of a finisher, and if you actually look back at it, the person with the most elaborate entrance lost their match. The guys with the live bands, Triple H,
that's
Orton,
true, you're right.
Ray Wyatt,
wow,
they lost
that.
Their match.
Wow.
Yeah. See what I did there?
Yeah, that's nice. And I also noticed that every old guy lost last night, too. Except for Cena, but Cena's not very old.
He's on the he's on the verge of being in that category though.
He was a rookie in what 2000. He's not old yet. Come on, he's just now hitting his prime. That's the scary thing.
Yeah.
Oh man, anything else going on this weekend?
Well, there's plenty of wrestling, but there's also Plaza Theater has some wrestling related stuff going on in Atlanta. Tomorrow night, Splatter Cinema is showing They Live, which obviously stars Rowdy Roddy Piper. And for people who've never been to Splatter Cinema, it's what's wrong with Roddy Piper?
Oh, Roddy Piper's podcast debuted today on thepodcast1.com. Another
oh, really?
Podcaster for some of these professional wrestlers that can't do anything else but take jobs that could be mine and Chafee's. Thanks a lot, Roddy Piper.
Well, maybe that explains why we've had such trouble getting him on this show.
Yeah, because he's been working on stealing all the bits and ideas we have.
Well, I didn't even know he was doing that, so I'm gonna.
Yeah, I found out the other day, and I was highly upset.
Well, anyway, they're showing They Live, and they do Splatter Cinema. It's a thing. I guess it's monthly. They show old horror movies, like mostly from the 80s and 70s, and. They'll do a little photo booth thing before the movie, recreating a scene from the movie. So that's tomorrow night at the Plaza Theater. You can go to plazaatlanta.com for more info. And tonight through Thursday, they're showing Pro Wrestlers versus Zombies, which is also stars Rowdy Roddy Piper and Kurt Angle.
It's really Matt Hardy, Kurt Angle. It's an all-star roster.
Yeah, Shane Douglas, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and basically, I haven't seen it, but the name says it all, I think. It's Pro Wrestlers Fighting Zombies. So that's Monday through Thursday at the Plaza Theater. And then, of course, you know, there's wrestling this weekend. Let me look. You can go to gwhnewsandnotes.blogspot.com to find out about everything that's coming up under upcoming events. But Anarchy is this Saturday, Anarchy Wrestling in Cornelia, Center State Pro Wrestling down in Columbus is on Friday night. And once again,
UIW is a Friday night. UIW had a Friday and Saturday show this week.
Yeah. I saw that. Is one of those a benefit or something, or are they just running twice?
No. Weirdly enough, Stan Robinson has been hitting the ground running ever since his interview with us, and he has booked quite the amazing schedule. I think they're on pace for like 14 shows in 15 weeks, or 14 shows in like 7 weeks, something like that. He's getting like a whole bunch of like Fridays and Saturday events, and he's doing something. I'm still trying to figure out where he's getting his money from, but you know, that's just, you know, because I'm curious. But at the same time, I mean, this one Friday night, what a card. You got the usual suspects. We'll defend the UIW tag titles against the Washington Bullets in a rematch from the Gauntlet match. And also, Bull Buchanan is going to face Brian Alexander. Brian Alexander is one of those guys that, like, a lot of guys never really got a chance to really see too much. But he was doing things back in, like, the early 2000s that were out of this world. And he's, you know, one of those guys that, like, if he would have stuck with it in 2000, could have been a really big star by 2005 or 2006, because he was right up there doing crazy stuff with Jason Cross, AJ Styles, and Air Paris, you know, but he just never got on the bigger platform, and his career just kind of faded off for a little bit. And
he's also got some great stories, because we had him on the show, I want to say about a year and a half ago. Yeah, and he just, I considered having him, like, just do a segment every week, story time with Brian Alexander or something, but he...
And the thing about his stories is you don't know if they're true or not, but they're all true.
Yeah. And they involve everybody from the Georgia wrestling scene over the past 10 or 15 years. So who else? Friday night, we got APW in Royston, Empire in Tennessee, actually. Empire's doing two shows also. They've got a Saturday show in Rossville. NWA Atlanta is in Locust Grove. Johnny Danger's
That's right, and all the great fans of the Rock and Roll Models in Locust Grove will be happy to know that I will be accompanying the NWA Matt Atlanta champion, Matt Sex Sells, to Locust Grove.
Is that really the name of the title?
It is now.
Oh, okay.
It's the Max. It's called the Max Championship. Metro Atlanta Extreme, I think, is what it stands for.
And he changed it. Okay, I got you.
It's basically like their secondary title, right, Johnny?
I think they've actually renamed it the NWA Atlanta Championship.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
But, yeah, it's the secondary title. Well, it was until Matt won it, I should say.
Yeah, is Tyson still the NWA Georgia Heavyweight Champion?
Yes.
Okay. Peach State also running on Saturday again. A busy schedule as well. Looks like Jimmy Ray is going to be there. Kyle Matthews, Kevin Blue, Shane Marks. And Southern Fried Championship Wrestling in Monroe is also on Saturday, where it looks like Cody Hall will defend his title against Darkmon.
Oh, God.
Nigel Sherrod and Terry Lawler are wrestling.
He said it. I thought it. So
what? I missed it.
That match. It's just an oh god.
Yeah.
Here's my question: If two guys wrestle a match and neither one sells, does the match actually happen? No, I shouldn't say that. Cody's got a lot of potential.
Yeah,
I won't argue with that.
He's got a lot of potential. I just hope he realizes that he's got a lot of potential.
Well, I guess we can wrap up a little early this week.
Yay! No, I don't mean yay that we're wrapping up early. I just, you know, I got baseball to watch.
Yeah. I haven't booked anybody for next Monday. Do you guys have any suggestions?
Is there anything big going on this weekend?
We just went over everything that's this weekend. The following
not wrestling related, just anything big.
Oh.
Any events in the city of Atlanta or anything?
Vita Von Teese is performing on Sunday. I don't know.
So get one of those guys on for Monday.
Let's see.
I'm sure the Undertaker's got plenty of free time. Call him up.
We can get Michelle McCool. Let's try to get Christy Hemme.
Hey.
No, I'm like dead serious. Let's try to get Christy Hemme. That could be a fun interview.
Well, I will see what I can do. I'm looking at other shows.
Actually, if you really want to, like, blow the world up, let's try to get the Black Undertaker fan from last night that's, like, the meme of the universe. That guy deserves to be interviewed on every podcast and radio show from this point forward.
He's like the new Angry Miz girl.
Dude, he is the best thing since the Ron Simmons crying fan. He is right up there with Hat Guy, Chicken Hat Guy that was in that used to go to all the TNA shows, and Vladimir, who used to be at every WrestleMania.
You know the Chicken Hat Guy.
Would you put him above Faith No More Guy?
Who's that guy?
You know, he went to all the ECW shows in Philly, sat next to the Straw Hat Guy.
The older guy or the younger guy?
Yeah, the long black hair, the...
Like the little short-looking troll guy, that looked like Danny DeVito.
No. Don't worry
about
it.
But you know the one I'm talking about, right? He was at a one-night stand, and he sat next to Hat Guy, and he sat next to all that group that looked like Danny DeVito.
Yes, okay, yes.
I was at WrestleMania 27. I saw him and Vladimir, and I marked out for them. I marked out for those super fans because I've seen them on so many Coliseum home video tapes in my youth that those two guys were the biggest stars of my WrestleMania experience at WrestleMania 27.
I'm glad you mentioned crazy super fans. Did anybody see that I made it to Botchamania the other day?
Did you really?
I did. They were going over the past 29 WrestleManias. And they included the entire Brock Lesnar-Goldberg match as a botch from WrestleMania 20.
Right.
And they pointed out that at some point the entire crowd was distracted by a fan dressed as Hulk Hogan.
You were Hulk Hogan?
I was the WrestleMania 20 Hulk Hogan.
Oh, man. Because, you know, Bobby Moore, I think, went to a show one time as a Twinkie.
What?
Oh, yeah. That's what we need to get. Get Bobby Moore on and have him tell his Twinkie story.
I've tried to get Bobby Moore on, and I get no response from him.
He never wants to do these kind of interviews. He's a pansy.
Let's reiterate that was not Johnny Danger calling Bobby Moore a pansy, because I've seen what he can do.
I said it. Josh Wheeler said it. I'll take the forearm to the freaking face next time I see him.
All right. Well, I guess we're done, right?
Yeah, we're done. My chips and salsa are calling me, so that's why you might hear me eating in the background.
Yeah, I got spaghetti waiting.
Well, I will figure out who our guest is, so just stay tuned to WrestlingWithPopCulture.com and GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com for that. Otherwise, we will talk to you next Monday.
Thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com for the latest information on upcoming events and more. As always, we thank you for your continued support.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.